We've just learned that U.S. military personnel in three critical locations have been put on the very highest state of alert after being warned of potential terrorist attacks. These days, it's not unusual to hear a statement like that from a trusted news source. The military placed on high alert means there's enough credible intelligence to suggest an enemy is getting ready to attack us. Prayer is the way a Christian stands on high alert against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. The devil is always planning his next attack, which is why an intelligence briefing in the Bible tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit and to keep alert with all perseverance. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Hello, and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. My name is Brian. Thanks for stopping by. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us about the full armor of God. There are six pieces in all, each uniquely crafted to help us win the invisible war with Satan. Over the past couple of weeks, Ron has covered all of them, but today he takes us to the end of Ephesians 6, to the point where we're fully dressed and ready for battle, to show you how prayer has the power to hold everything else together. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to our podcast at Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. From his weekly series, Armored, Dressed for Victory in Spiritual Warfare, here's Ron with today's Something Good radio message, Warfare Prayer.
Well, several weeks ago, we set out on a study of the subject of spiritual warfare. We've been talking about getting dressed for victory in spiritual warfare. We began in week one by bringing to our awareness the idea that we are in a spiritual conflict. We talked about the invisible war that we are in. Ephesians 6, Paul tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in what he called the heavenly realms, something he mentions four or five times in the book of Ephesians. But he takes us into that invisible realm, the heavenly realms where spiritual conflict takes place. In week two, we unmasked the schemes of the devil. We exposed him, as it were, from the pages of Scripture, and we're better equipped to know how he operates, how he tempts, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And then back to Ephesians 6, we talked about each piece of the armor. God has equipped us. He has given us the wardrobe that we need to fight in these spiritual battles. We talked about the belt of truth. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, those gospel shoes of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation. We picked up the shield of faith. Last week, we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We emphasized how each piece of the spiritual armor is important. You don't pick and choose. We need all of it. And then at the end of Paul's discussion here in Ephesians chapter 6, we shouldn't be surprised that he turns his attention to prayer. Now, prayer is not a piece of the armor of God, but it kind of makes everything work together. You can't fight spiritual battles dressed for spiritual warfare, but without prayer or absent of prayer. Paul says it this way, in light of all the pieces of armor that you've dressed yourself with, praying at all times in the Spirit, he says, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. Now Paul gets personal. He says, pray for me that words may be given to me to, in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I kind of suppose that Paul probably had in mind a picture of the intersection between prayer and spiritual conflict found in the Old Testament. I'm talking about Daniel chapters 9 and 10. Let me just take you there by summary. The Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 9 that he began to pray and fast. Two very powerful spiritual disciplines when you bring them together, praying and fasting. And Daniel began what turned out to be 21 days of prayer and fasting. He prayed, he fasted, he fasted, he prayed, but no answer came, not until the 21st day. And when the answer came, the angel of the Lord said to him, and I'm paraphrasing here, Daniel, we heard you from the first prayer on the first day, and we dispatched an answer from heaven. But as the answer was coming through the heavenly realms, we found ourselves in a conflict, in a battle with the prince of Persia. Now let's just stop right there. Incredible insight into this invisible realm from Daniel chapters 9 and 10. Who is the prince of Persia? Well, keep in mind, historically at that time, Persia was the superpower of the day. Daniel was a Hebrew who was taken captive in Jerusalem and moved to Babylon, to what later became and was overtaken by the Persian Empire. And so he was in that region. But what we know about the devil is he's not omnipresent. That is a quality that only belongs to God, the idea that he is everywhere at all times. No, the devil is location specific, just like you and me. You can only be in one place at the same time. You can't be in church and at home at the same time, right? Well, I guess you can if you're watching online. You're kind of in church and at home at the same time. But you know what I'm talking about. The devil is not omnipresent, but he is highly organized through an army of fallen angels, and he has organized them into what Daniel seems to suggest, territorial responsibilities. And when they came in conflict with the prince of Persia, I believe this was a demonic force that was responsible for the Persian Empire. And it delayed the answer to prayer. The angel of the Lord had to call on another angel to come and fight in the heavenly realms, Daniel chapter 10 tells us. And when they finally broke through, they told Daniel the story. Daniel, we heard you from the beginning. We had conflict along the way. But the 21 days of prayer and fasting, his persisting in prayer while the conflict was going around, produced a breakthrough in the heavenly realms. Keep that picture in mind, because I think Paul has that in mind. He knew the scriptures well. And even as he's talking about warfare prayer, and that's what I want to call it today. This is no, now I lay me down to sleep kind of praying. This is no half-hearted kind of praying. No, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, in the family of God, as the bride of Christ, and as soldiers in this spiritual conflict, we need to become prayer warriors. That's not for just some special class of Christians over here who are the prayer warriors. No, every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ need to become prayer warriors. We become prayer warriors, let me define it this way, when we pray over each piece of our spiritual armor as we get dressed for spiritual warfare. That's where warfare prayer begins. That's where the definition of a prayer warrior begins, where you begin your day getting dressed for battle in the spiritual realm and you pray over each piece of the armor as you dress yourself. And remind yourself of what each piece means and the role that it plays in conflict. Having said that, let's get a little more specific about how a prayer warrior prays. And I think Paul gives us some clues here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with this. First of all, a prayer warrior prays at all times. You see it there in verse 18? Praying at all times in the Spirit with prayer and supplication. Paul says. He says to pray at all times. Now, you first might read that and think that he's saying the same thing that he says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, where he says, pray without ceasing. And maybe you've read that before and you say, well, Pastor, how can I pray without ceasing? I've got a family to raise, a job to do, and you know, how do I pray without ceasing while I'm driving down the road? Well, he's not saying you always drop to your knees 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, but you're always in the attitude of prayer, okay? Praying without ceasing. That might be what he kind of has in mind as he says, pray at all times. But I don't think that's specifically what he's talking about here. Because when you dig a little bit deeper into the ancient language, you discover that Paul uses a very specific term when he uses the word times, praying at all times. And let me explain what I mean here. In the ancient Greek language, the Greeks had two words that could be translated time or times, chronos or kairos. Chronos refers to chronological or sequential time, but kairos is more specific. It refers to the right time or the opportune time. We might say that Paul is saying, pray opportunistically. Pray at the right time, at the precise time when prayer is needing. For example, if I want to say, let's get together sometime, and I was very general about it, I would use the word chronos. But if I want to make an appointment with you, say at 2:30 in the afternoon, precisely, I would use the word kairos. That's how the Greeks use those words. In Christian theology, the difference between chronos and kairos is very important. Chronos refers to time generally, whereas kairos speaks of the appointed time in the purpose of God. And that's the word that Paul uses here, is kairos. Praying at all kairos, at the opportune time, at the specific time in the purpose of God. It's also the same word that Paul uses in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 when he says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, a great Christmas text. We talk about God's timing in sending Jesus, his son, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. It's not chronos time, it's kairos time, specific time. It's the right opportunity. It's in line with the purposes of God. Think of how in sports, timing is everything. A baseball player learns to time his swing when that 95-mile-an-hour fastball comes in. He times his swing, and if he connects and times just right, he hits it over the fence. And so it is in prayer. We need the timing of a very skilled Major League Baseball player when the devil throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at us. We need to know the right time to pray. I think that's what Paul is talking about here.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. Need prayer today? Visit somethinggoodradio.org to share your request, and our ministry team will be happy to join you in prayer. Use the Explore feature that's right at the top of our homepage. Then tell us how we can pray for you. While you're there, visit our digital library, where you'll find more than 500 hours of video and audio teaching from Dr. Ron Jones. Search our streaming library by scripture or topic. Again, that web address is somethinggoodradio.org. For the athlete and for the Christian, muscle memory is critical. What creates muscle memory in the spiritual realm? Find out next in the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, Warfare Prayer. Once again, here's Dr. Ron Jones.
By practicing the spiritual discipline of prayer every day, we are creating some muscle memory. That's what baseball players do. They practice in the cage, their timing, and they have a muscle memory there so that when that fastball comes in, boom, the timing is right there. Even so, when we practice the spiritual discipline of prayer, we're developing a spiritual muscle memory that when the temptation comes, when the devil prowls in our area and roars like a lion, the spiritual muscle memory, the default to prayer is there. And we're praying at the right time, at the right moment, at the opportune moment. And the best thing to pray at that time is to pray the Word of God. What we've seen through a discussion of all of these pieces of the armor, the Word of God is found in a lot of them, specifically, of course, in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the right prayer, which is a prayer that rises up from the pages of Scripture, not the graphe, not the logos, but the rhema word of God. Remember, rhema was a specific application of the word of God. The Spirit of God in partnership with us as we pray at the kairos time, the rhema word of God, boom, we're right there in the conflict at the right time, at the right moment. That's why it's important to be in fellowship with the Spirit of God, to know the word of God, and then to be praying at all times so that when the temptation comes, you have a word from God and you pray his word to him at just the right time. I think that's what Paul has in mind when he says, listen, you can get dressed and ready for spiritual conflict, but just know as you walk out the door, you need to be praying at all times. Not just when you return at night and do that, now I lay me down to sleep kind of praying, which is sort of half-hearted. No, you're walking into time of conflict. So a prayer warrior prays at all times. Secondly, he prays in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now, some people want us to believe that there's a special prayer language that you have that may be in private, may be in public. Some people want to think, say this has to do with speaking in tongues and that kind of prayer language and all of that. I think there's a much simpler explanation rather than to get into all those controversies now. Here's how I believe it works. We know from Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit of God always prays according to the will of God. And we discover the will of God, how? By knowing the word of God, right? We learned that throughout the series here, and certainly last week when we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you want to know what the will of God is and pray according to the will of God, which the Holy Spirit always does, the best way to know how to pray in the will of God is to know the word of God. And how we pray in the Spirit is to pray in a way that aligns with the Holy Spirit, who always prays according to the will of God. Why? Because he knows the word of God perfectly. And so praying in the Spirit is not this, you know, private prayer language between you and God. It is the idea of aligning your prayer life to the word of God, which is always the will of God. And when you do that, you are praying in agreement with the Spirit of God. And all of this brings us back to the important role of the Holy Spirit in spiritual warfare and in the Christian life. This is why we put on the helmet of salvation. We take up the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying in the Spirit, I believe, go hand in hand. The better we know the word of God, the better we are able to pray what the Spirit prays, which is always the will of God. Now, what happens when you don't know what to pray? Well, the Bible has an answer for that too. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 26 and 27, you might want to hold your place there in Ephesians 6 and go to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. In Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, it gives us insight into the role of the Holy Spirit in our prayer life, and I think dovetails beautifully with Ephesians 6 and warfare prayer and what it means to pray at all times in the Spirit. Romans 8, beginning in verse 26, says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Yeah, the Spirit of God has a language, as it were, that only the spirit realm understands. Goes on to say that he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I love this insight because it talks about the Spirit who groans for us, and then he prays. A few verses earlier in Romans 8, Paul says, the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth until now. He's describing what it's like to live in a fallen world. And there's no year like this year for all of creation to be groaning as we deal with this worldwide pandemic. We are living in some degree the effects of what it means to live in a fallen world. And sometimes, especially throughout this year, we don't exactly know how to pray, let alone how to pray according to the will of God and in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Thankfully, that's when the Holy Spirit prays for us. In groanings too deep, the Bible says, for words. But when the Holy Spirit prays for us, he always prays in keeping with the will of God. So a prayer warrior prays at all times, meaning the opportune time. He prays in agreement with the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, and I'll just toss in, this is kind of a grab bag here, he prays with earnestness, with alertness, and with perseverance. All three of those apply here. Again, no now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayer. Now this is the kind of praying that has a fervency to it, an earnestness to it, a sense of desperation, we might say. It's the kind of praying that is alert, spiritually alert, and one that perseveres. Let's talk a little bit about earnestness in prayer. I think it's wrapped up a little bit in those words, the word supplication that is found two times in Ephesians 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, making supplication for all the saints. Supplication is a word that simply means humble prayer, entreaty, petition, asking, and inherent in this is an asking with a sense of earnestness and a sense of fervency.
When the world, the flesh, and the devil tempt us to sin, we are powerless in our own strength to resist it. Only God can deliver us, which is why it's critical to earnestly and humbly seek Him. He will help us most when we admit that we can't help ourselves at all. You're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's message is part of Ron's series, Armored, Dressed for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. Look for it under the Library tab at somethinggoodradio.org. Dr. Ron Jones has joined me to talk about his new book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, so excited about the release of your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can. And I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approach Jesus and ask him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099. Or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456.
I just want to land on a topic that relates to prayer and spiritual warfare that a lot of people have as it relates to prayer, and that is, what hinders answers to prayer? What hinders our prayer life? Does God always answer our prayer, even the prayer of a believer? Well, a careful study of Scripture, even in the context of spiritual warfare, suggests that there are some things that hinder our communication with God, and He turns a deaf ear to our prayers.
That's tomorrow in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Warfare Prayer. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and all of us here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.